Happy early Valentine's Day, Conference USA fans. And to fulfill your love of all things, today we get to talk about all the great things that's happening in Conference USA. We got basketball, we have softball, we have baseball. So many things going on and so many things to break down. As always, when I'm in this seat, we have Eric Jones joining us today. And we have amazing things happening in men's basketball. We finally have some leeway, some separation. So you can start off with that.
Yeah, a little bit of separation now. We had a pair of 2-0 teams last week in Jacksonville State and Liberty. Super fun to watch Jack State right now. Won both games this past weekend, extending their win streak to 8. Big wins over Middle Tennessee Thursday night. That was a big one. I think, 1-2 in the league at the time, and, still are 1-2 right there, but separated themselves a little bit. I mean, it was a dominant performance. Jerron Pierre, Jr., CUSA Player of the Week. Lute Olson, National Player of the Week honors. He averaged 32 points this past week, 4.5 rebounds, 4 assists. He had 10 threes in that game on Thursday against Middle Tennessee, which 7 of them coming in the first half. It was an unreal show from Pierre, and he's one of those guys that you're just waiting for him to just burst. And it was, he hasn't had, great success as he was in non-conference play as he has been in conference play, but we saw that this whole weekend. He had 28 points again on Saturday against WKU. Wish they erased a 19-point deficit to come back. And when you're hot and when you're winning like that, that things like that will happen for you. A little bit of, you could say it's luck, but these guys are just playing with, full heart right now. What Coach Harper's doing is he's just rallying his guys, and they'd never have a doubt. They're going to win these games, and that's just what happens when you're winning and on a winning streak. So super exciting to see them at the top. They've got a 2-game lead now. Liberty's right there in second place, so at 7-4, and so is Middle Tennessee at 7-4. Liberty, how about the Flames this last week? Had Louisiana Tech coming in, and Louisiana Tech's been trying to get off this road skid, and they couldn't compete with the Flames on Thursday. Liberty had 2 wins with the La Tech and in the Sam Houston game, and Sam Houston took him down to the wire there on Saturday. Caden Matheny was really good this week, averaged 16.5 points in both those games. He actually scored 26 in the game against Sam Houston on Saturday, which is the most he scored in a Flames uniform in his career there. So super exciting to see another tough one for Sam Houston. They're 1-10 right now. It's been hard, coming off the regular season championship last year and the number one seed in the tournament. It's been a tough year for those Bearcats, but I feel like they've been in every single game. I don't think they have a double digit loss in conference play, and they're in every single one. It's tough to see, but they're battling, and it shows you, hey, there might be a week down here in the stretch where they might ruin someone's seeding.
We still have 4 weeks.
So yeah, still a lot of ball to play, but it's a great week for Liberty. And they got a tough road trip this weekend with New Mexico State and UTEP.
So talk a little bit about Middle Tennessee. We always know Justin Porter, he's been doing outstanding for them. So just give us a little insight. They split this weekend 1-1. They're tied, like you said, for second place with Liberty. So just what is it about this Middle Tennessee team?
Yeah, obviously a tough road trip for them going to a young Kennesaw team and Jack State as well. That Jack State game almost seemed like it got out of hand early, and they're playing with a little bit of pride. Obviously, they were still in the contest, but I think Jack State really, really gave it to them. Jerron Pierre again went crazy. But for them to bounce back after a tough loss like that, knowing they lost to that top team in the standings, and to come back and beat Kennesaw State the way they did and hang on, they were up by 15.5. I believe it was 49-34. So the way they scored in the first half was really impressive, led by Justin Porter and Issa Mustafa down low. But, second half got a little dicey there, but they hung on. They stuck with their guys and stuck with the leadership of that bunch to hang on to a 1-point win against Kennesaw State. So they're right there in the thick of it. I think if you had to give me 3 teams that would be at the top of the league come the end of the season, it would be these 3 teams right now: Jack State, Liberty, and Middle.
It would definitely be a dogfight. Speaking of Kennesaw State, Adrian Woolley, we talk about him week in and week out. He has secured his 8th CUSA Freshman of the Week award. As we keep talking about, 10 is the record. Like we said, we have 3 weeks left, 4 weeks left. It's definitely time for him to either tie the record or pass it. And who knows? He has the capability to do it because he has been going insane for Kennesaw State.
He's definitely on track. Woolley averaged 26 points in their 1-1 week, which is just incredible. He had 29 points in the loss against Middle Tennessee, and the guy just goes out there and scores. He gives this Owls team a chance to win game in, game out. Super exciting to watch and just to see him grow throughout the year. I know he kind of fled on the scene early and everyone's like, oh, who is this guy? We got to talk to him, or you got to talk to him earlier in the season. And, you know, the way he goes about himself, he just plays a little chip on his shoulder. He's, has had a good relationship with Coach Petway, you know, before he even got on campus here, it seems like. So, he just came in with, you know, just ready to play basketball. It's just, you know, you step on the court and it's the same game no matter what. So he's playing incredible basketball. And again, he's, you know, him and Jerome Pierre right up there for player of the year conversation. It seems like it might be between these two guys, and it'll be fun to see how it plays out because I believe they play each other to close the season before we go to Huntsville.
The final week of conference play. Yes, that is a matchup on the docket for our schedule. That will be on the men's side. Will be an amazing week. So if you know now, you better tune in. For that last week, because it will be a dogfight for sure, especially against those two players. You wouldn't want to miss that game. We talk about like home wins and being undefeated at home with Jack State. They're 11-0 right now, right? And we talk about how Louisiana Tech, they do really, really well at home and not so well on the road, especially during conference play. But they did notch their first road win against FIU this week. So do you think that was just what they needed to be, you know, on a steady continuing, you know, path of winning these road games?
No, definitely. And again, like as we state all the time, like going on the road is not easy.
Especially in this conference.
Yes. Yeah. You're dealing, you know, sometimes travel may not even be ideal when you're having to fly in somewhere and bus a little ways. But I've heard that trip to FIU is really tough. Playing in that, you know, in that gym is just difficult. And, you know, FIU is coming off a win on Thursday, their second conference win of the season. They were riding off a high. You know, they had a thrilling overtime win against Sam Houston on Thursday. And then, you know, they get a little bit more confidence. You know, La Tech might be down after the loss to Liberty. But La Tech was pedal to the metal. I believe it was a wire-to-wire win. So it was cool to see, you know, a guy like A.J. Bates. He's a true freshman at La Tech. Got his first career start. You know, it looked like Coach Hester wanted to change things up a little bit. And Bates had 19 points, you know. And just stepped up in a big way for those guys, and a big confidence builder, I think, for Louisiana Tech. They're getting to go back home this weekend where they will have Jack State and Kennesaw State. So it'll be exciting to see. They're 5-0 at home in conference play. So they obviously play with a lot of passion at home, and they want to win in front of their home crowd.
So one of our games to watch last week was the Battle of I-10. It was our second round of the Battle of I-10, right? And so let's talk about UTEP and New Mexico State. When New Mexico State visit UTEP, they beat them by 20 points, right?
20. But they handed it to them.
We already knew that UTEP was going to go to Las Cruces with a chip on their shoulder. Like, okay, you came into our house, you beat us. Now we need to do the same to you guys. And they did exactly that. So tell us a little bit about that game.
Yeah. Total team effort from UTEP in my mind. They obviously wanted some revenge. You know, that was just probably left a horrible taste in their mouth when you have a team like New Mexico State and that their rivalry come into your own home and beat you by 28.
So it outcrowded too.
That doesn't feel good. That never feels good. So for them to go into Las Cruces and get that win, I know it was a tight game. It's a physical game with those two, as always. UTEP is just, you know, playing really good ball, I think, right now, and on the defensive end especially. Those guys are physical, and they will get after you. They're still one of the top defensive teams in the country, and with steals and turnovers forced per game, you see that they're at the very top of that category. So total team efforts. Actually, the first time in 14 years they've won a game in Las Cruces. So a big, big deal for them, especially. And to split that, and you never know, we may see them again in the tournament in Huntsville.
Mm-hmm. And we always talk about that neutral court. It's no home court advantage. It's no being on the road. Because obviously, in this case, which is weird for Conference USA, those road wins was in these teams' favor for Battle of I-10 this year. But we talked about that being the game of the week last week. What are some games of the week this week.
I think we definitely have to look at the hot Jacksonville State team going on the road. First time in 3 weeks they'll be on the road. They've had four straight home contests. And then, you know, they get to go to Sam Houston on Thursday, which Sam Houston plays everyone tight. You never know what can happen there. But I think the game to really look out for them is at Louisiana Tech, where Louisiana Tech's 5-0 at home. Jacksonville's 1-8 straight. You know, something's got to give. So we'll see how that one plays out. It'll be very interesting. Middle Tennessee going to WKU after beating the Hilltoppers last time around. We'll see that big rivalry again on Saturday. And then Liberty going to UTEP. You know, Liberty's been shooting the ball really, really well. UTEP plays really good defense. Again, something's got to give. I think it'll be those three matchups will be really key to look forward to.
And that is for the men's side, which is so interesting to hear. I know you guys probably enjoy to hear all the madness on the men's side, because I feel like every week it's always something, you know?
Yep.
You have the same teams that are doing well, but you always have those sneaker teams who just sneak up on you and surprise you. So it's always interesting. But for the women's side, just like the men's with Jack State, you know, getting some leeway, Middle Tennessee is the sole, you know, holder of first place right now. They're 10-1. This is their, 22nd season straight of having 10-plus wins during conference play. So this team and what Rick Enstall has been doing has been very, very well. Just Middle Tennessee just gets it done, right? And it doesn't matter about them losing one, which we'll see an early little teaser for game of the week. They go against WKU on Saturday. This, 100 miles of hate? We talk about this every season.
It's a basketball rivalry. We will say that.
A very hardcore basketball rivalry. And I know that this week will mean more because WKU beat Middle Tennessee when they went to Bowling Green, right? WKU is visiting Middle Tennessee now. We will know that it might be a different story. It might not be a different story. Who knows? Of course, same with the UTEP and New Mexico State last week. WKU, they're like, okay, we can do it. Might do it again. Middle Tennessee is like, absolutely not, probably. So that will be definitely a game to watch. It will be so interesting just to see these two teams go head to head, because it's doable on both sides, as we've seen. So I don't even know how to predict that one.
Yeah, no, and it's like, we were actually just looking up before this, you know, when was the last time Middle Tennessee lost a home conference game? And it was just about 4 years ago, March 4th, 2021, to Marshall. So they take a lot of pride in playing at home. Obviously, what happened the first go around, they just don't want that happening again.
And they're on a 6-game winning streak. So we will see if Middle Tennessee keeps that winning streak alive. Just extremely well. Tamia Scott has stepped into that role of Savannah Wheeler. Of course, that was a huge loss for them, because that girl was, oh my gosh, a dog on the basketball court. But she graduated. She's moved on. I think Tamia Scott has definitely filled in that role. She's averaging 16.5 points per game for them this year. And I think she has really embraced it. It's a lot to, you know, step up in. Those are some big shoes to fill, of Savannah Wheeler. But I think she has been a key maker in Middle Tennessee right now, especially when you lose somebody that, you know, like, valuable to your team, right? But she has been doing a phenomenal job for them. She was just our CSA player of the week. She had career highs, right? She had 30 points, and then she had 24 against Kennesaw. She had 30 against Jack State. But she averaged, 27 points and 11 rebounds in one weekend alone through two games?
Cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
So she's been doing very, very, very well for Middle Tennessee. Of course, Anastasia Bodoereva, we talk about her every week. She literally leads the nation in blocks and blocks per game. So a defensive presence she is has just been so, so good for Middle Tennessee. And as we say, definitely a team to watch, a team that everybody is like, okay, maybe we can notch a win against them. Right. But they're like, absolutely not.
No.
They know how to handle the ball. They have four key players with Tamia Scott, Anastasia, Courtney Blakely, Jalen Gregory, who doesn't miss from the three, it seems like.
Not at all.
Those four players is definitely players to watch. And just, I know these teams have them on their scouting report.
Oh, yeah. And it's almost like that one loss may have been good for this team, you know. They don't want to have that bad taste again in their mouths, obviously. And you know, it's, you know, they have six losses on the year, but those six losses, you know, they're always against quality opponents. You know, they do a really good job scheduling a non-conference play to get themselves ready for our league, but also, you know, beyond that and going, try and make a deep run in the NCAA tournament. So, maybe that one loss to WKU I mean, sparked. I think it would spark any team in our league when you lose to a rival, but I think definitely spark them, and they're playing with a lot of edge right now.
For sure. And I think somebody else right now who will definitely, you know, start to kick in for is Liberty, because they just had a tough loss against Louisiana Tech. Mm-hmm. It was on a roll, so they visited Louisiana Tech and Sam Houston this past weekend. They left out of La Tech with a 1-point loss. And I think that is insane that that game was so tight, right? But kudos to Louisiana Tech, because definitely their freshman, Paris Bradley, was the savior of the day for them. I think she scored, 13 points in just the fourth quarter alone? Maybe not 13 points, but she scored a lot of points for Louisiana Tech in that fourth quarter, because they were down. And then they came back. She was on fire. She did not miss. She scored the game-winning shot. It was 2.7 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Pierce Bradley got the win for the Lady Texters against Liberty, and I know that they were fired up about that win, because that is essentially an upset, right? Because it was Middle Tennessee, and it was Liberty that was tied for first place. They basically knocked them down to second. So now Liberty is on the hunt of trying to get back to being at least the number one seed in the tournament, or, you know, just it will come down to tiebreaker protocols. And, you know, our tiebreakers can be a little crazy.
And again, they still get to play Middle Tennessee once, so they do control that.
Yes.
You know, in the standings there, but yeah. Should be fun.
Yes. WKU has actually been, not actually, but have been doing very, very well as well. They walked out of last week with a 2-0 week. They had Kennesaw State and Jack State as well. Alexis Mead has been doing so, so well for the Lady Toppers. She averaged 22 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2.5 steals. And that's just in 2 games, right? And we talked about how Tamia Scott had a career weekend. Alexis Mead also had a career weekend this week, right? She had 30 points. Yes, she put up 15 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, and 3 steals against Kennesaw. And she had a career high 29 points against Jack State. So she has been very, very influential. I think I've talked about how WKU is the only players, I mean, only team in our league right now who has 4 players averaging in double figures. So
sounds about right. Yep.
So we talk about how Middle Tennessee has 4 key players, right? But they only have 3 players that are averaging in double figures. WKU has 4 players, and they always have 4 players that are in double figures in each game. What has happened, 12 times this year already? And there's always different. It's not like one clear person that's leading the team.
That's always a good thing to have. I remember, you know, when I was covering women's basketball before Jess, this team was always a pesky group, like just fast and move around and just kill you in all sorts of ways, and shoot the 3 ball too. Like when they're shooting, when they're on, and it's, again, as you said, 4 players averaging, you know, double figures. That's always a good thing to have. You know, anybody can step up and shoot. If all 4 of them are stepping up, you got a chance to beat anybody in this league. So super exciting to see, super awesome to see Alexis Mead have a week like she did.
And just to go back, I mentioned how Middle Tennessee is 22 straight seasons with 10-plus conference wins, right? But I also want to mention how Liberty is 1 win away for being 26 straight seasons of 10-plus, you know, win game season in a conference, right? So, and it doesn't matter which conference they're in. It's their whole entire just overall of women's basketball. But just a very good kudos to Middle Tennessee and Liberty. They put together very, very good teams who's just able to win games.
Yeah.
And I have a streak like 26. 22 is a lot, but 26, I think it's crazy. It's insane. You're almost at 30. You just got to round it out a little bit.
We're almost there. No, it's awesome to see that both these, you know, programs, of the way they've established themselves with the coaching that they have. Mm-hmm. And it just shows, like, you know, you win year in and year out, you're going to get good players to come play for you no matter what. So it's awesome to see these two programs, the way they're playing.
And we also just have to talk about New Mexico State a little bit. Molly Kaiser is just a phenomenal player. You talk about how Jerron Pierre Jr., Adrian Willie is in the running for Player of the Year. This girl is definitely in the run for Player of the Year on the women's side. She scored her 5th 30-point game against UTEP. We talk about the battle of I-10 a lot, right? They won out this year. They went 2-0 in that battle. When they visit UTEP, beat them 85-60. But she scored 30 points in that game, her 5th time. It's her 2nd time in conference play. And I just feel like this girl's unstoppable. If she's on, there's nothing stopping her. It doesn't matter what your scout says. It doesn't matter what defense you put up. She is going to go score some points.
Yeah. No, that's incredible for Molly Kaiser. Getting to see her join the league last year and, you know, making a name for herself on that roster. But now it's just like she's taken over, like taking over Las Cruces. Like it's all Molly. She knows it's on her, and she goes out there and she just gives it her all every night and is performing, and it's showing very well.
And I think I told you this earlier, how we met somebody on a flight this past weekend. I went to UTEP, went to El Paso. You'll hear a little bit more about that a little bit later. But on this flight, I met this woman, and she was saying how Molly Kaiser is so good, but how she's so proud of her progress from when she was a freshman until now. She was saying how when she was a freshman, she was short, she was a little skinny, she wasn't, you know, as powerful or as strong as she is now, but her work ethic is what has, you know, just prevailed her, or just, you know, like she's so proud of just her improvement over the years, and just she knew that she wanted to play and how she wanted to be a star, but the work that she did to get there is phenomenal. And she just gave her so much praise of, nobody sees the back end of what you're doing, right? How many times you're in the gym, how many times you're in the weight room, like what you're doing to be as good as you are on the court.
Definitely.
And she has such high praise for Molly and was just saying, I hope she gets player of the year this year.
Because yeah.
If anybody, she deserves it. Just have her progress from freshman year to now. And we talked about that when we interviewed her a couple weeks ago, how she's a fifth-year senior, and she spent all 5 years at New Mexico State. So I know the city of Las Cruces is very appreciative of her. They call her a certified legend. She is.
Definitely. So, yeah.
Definitely a legend there. But she was just giving her flowers, and I just love that story that she provided us, you know, on that flight.
No, that is definitely incredible. And it just shows, like, the confidence in her. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we're both athletes, you know, when you start freshman year, you know, you kind of deer in the headlights in a sense, like you're like, oh, this is the real deal. Once you gain that, you know, experience level, that confidence, and it's certain that she has grown that over her years and at New Mexico State, it's so awesome to see it pay off like in this way. So it's incredible.
And speaking of New Mexico State, that is on my docket for a game to watch this week. On Thursday is New Mexico State at Liberty at 6 p.m. New Mexico State, I think, is riding a high right now. Overtime loss to Middle Tennessee, right? But we talked about Middle Tennessee is such a good team. And I think to send it to overtime, which I don't think anybody in our league has been into winning to overtime with them
right
yet. So to go into overtime with Middle Tennessee, not even to lose by 10, I think that's very, very good for New Mexico State. And I think that they took that and they ran with it, because mm-hmm. then what? They beat WKU after that. And WKU is also a very good team. And then to have this win against UTEP, I think they're going to go into Liberty. And granted, they're away. Hard road trip, right? They're going from New Mexico to Virginia. But I still think that just riding the wave and the high and, you know, just having that fight of, okay, we're probably not doing as well as we want to do in conference play. We need this win. I think it'll be a very, very good game to watch. You have Bella Smuda, you have Molly Kaiser, you have everybody, you know, down below that have been doing very, very well. New Mexico State has Fonta Gassima, who's been doing really, really well for them. So,
a lot of superstars.
Yeah, in my head.
Superstars in the league.
Deja Boone for Liberty. Mm-hmm. It's just, you just never know who's going to have a night. Well, you know Molly Kaiser's going to have a night.
And if she does, and everyone around her, you know, steps up as well.
Like, exactly. And then if Molly Kaiser steps up, who on Liberty would step up? And Liberty has so many people that can shoot and that can score points, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And another fact about Liberty is they have 10 players averaging five or more points, you know? And they only have 14 people in their roster.
Yeah.
And 10 of them
insane.
Is averaging five or more points this season.
Everyone's contributing.
Yes. And it doesn't matter. You can bring anybody off that bench and they're scoring points, right? And they're the only team in Division I. They're tied with Texas. So it's only two teams this season that has 10 or more players averaging five or more points. And I think that's, again, another testament to Liberty about how they recruit and, you know, what they do when they get on that court and they score points.
But you want to have depth in this league and in any, you know, team or conference in America. Like, having depth can take you a long way. You're always having fresh people out on the court. You can give your, you know, your star a break for, you know, a few minutes out of the game and get them, you know, get them water and get them back in there. So, like, to have that sort of depth and to have people scoring all around is crucial in college basketball.
For sure. And, of course, the same with the men's on Saturday, the 100 Miles of Hate game. It's WKU at Middle Tennessee, and that game is at 2 p.m. Central. Definitely a game to watch. That is going to be a dog fight. I think I would be very surprised. I'm like half a half. I would be surprised if it's a blowout, but I wouldn't be surprised because it's just like it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a battle of who wants it more.
Yeah.
Of who's the most upset about what happened. So I think it'll be so interesting. And same with, like, just Kennesaw and Jack State. If they meet on that neutral, you know, court in Huntsville, it'll be so interesting and just, like, engaging to watch.
Most definitely. And I think the the crowds that travel down to Huntsville always, you know, at least from last year, you showed out there in those big rivalry games, especially when it came down to middle playing WKU on the men's side. From what I saw, it was great crowd, great atmosphere, and not a tough trip for them either. So it's always awesome to see, and just to see it all get duked out on neutral court at the end of the year.
We know what's in about neutral court in Huntsville because, you know, the madness is already, you know, spewing. It'll be even more madness.
Oh, definitely.
Come March, you know, March madness. And that's why it is a tagline, because you just never, never know. It's always up in the air. You can never just have a total guess of like, yep, that's going to happen.
No lead is ever safe either.
Yeah.
Especially going into this Middle Tennessee and WKU women's game. Mm-hmm. You know, I believe WKU was down last time, right, at halftime. Pretty good. And no lead safe. So whoever's going to, you know, take this one, they're going to go pedal to the metal.
It's the game of momentum. And if you got the momentum, you're taking it away for sure.
Definitely.
And just speaking of games, today's Thursday. Our episodes come out on Thursday. We have UTEP at FIU. That game starts at 10 a.m. Central. So if you are not doing anything, but you shouldn't be doing anything, tune into that game on ESPN+. Next up, we have an exclusive interview with UTEP's women's basketball assistant coach, Jerica Hughes. She was a two-time USA Player of the Year. She is a part of our Hall of Fame class of 2024, and then she just got her jersey retired at UTEP on last Saturday's game against New Mexico State. So she has just such many accolades, a bunch of accomplishments, and in this interview, you'll hear her just rave about all the good things that has happened throughout her career. She was a player, now she's a coach, and you just hear about her transition. It's a really good interview, and I hope you enjoy. Hello, Conference USA fans. I'm Jessica Radford, and today I get to sit down with UTEP's women's basketball assistant coach, Jerica Hughes. Jerica, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Jessica.
Of course. Let's just go back to your days of as a student athlete, right? You was at two-time Conference USA Player of the Year. You earned all conference honors all 4 years that you played here at UTEP. So what was the most memorable moment of being a student athlete here?
I would definitely have to say my most memorable moment was sophomore year, 16-0, first time in program history and first time in Conference USA. So that I think that was the beginning of showing the tradition that we can win ball games and win championships around here at UTEP.
So you guys went 16-0 that year in conference play, 28-4 overall. Yeah. What was it about that year and about that team that clicked?
I think that adding Natasha Lacey to our roster in my second year in the sophomore year was the piece of the puzzle that we needed to be the team that we really, really figured that we can be. And so I think that everybody, with their hard work and dedication, we all really, really wanted it. And the work that our coaching staff had put into it, the preparation each game, I think that musters up a championship product. And that's what everybody was able to see in 08.
How's your experience as a student athlete shape who you are today?
Oh, God, that's a great question. I would have to say being a student athlete and having to time on task, right, is one of the most important things. Time on task when it comes to your academics, make sure you get into your classes and making sure that you're meeting your requirements as a basketball player. So being able to transfer from the student part to an athlete was one of the toughest things I had to get to, but it helped shape and mold me into the woman that I am, because now I'm able to multitask and do different things and be able to take care of the business at the same time. So
I'm glad you mentioned like being a challenge of being a student and an athlete, right?
Yes.
Was there any other challenges that you faced during your time here, and how did you overcome that?
I would probably have to say just transitioning coming from Michigan in general and then coming down to Texas and a little bit of a culture shock, if you will. So it was a little hard getting to understand and transitioning here to El Paso from Detroit. And I think with just the help of this is a great community. One thing I love about El Paso, and I've always called it my second home, is the people. They are very caring. They're very supportive. So once I got used to just being around El Paso and more people one, they just come to our games and support us and talk to us. I think that definitely helped me out because I was struggling early on as a freshman, leaving so far away from home. And you have those days where you start to feel homesick. And I think with my teammates, I have some really great teammates pulling me in. And we always did things off the court. I think that helped.
It's always good when you're
teammates are also your family as well. Like you said, when you're so far away from home, it's always good to have a home away from home.
Exactly. Exactly.
When did you know that you wanted to pursue coaching after your playing career?
I knew that all along, to be quite honest. I knew it as a kid that whenever that day comes, I wanted to be around basketball, and I knew I wanted to coach. And I think it was my sophomore or maybe junior year, Coach Adams and I, we had a real, real good conversation. I remember her telling me, like, you're going to be a coach one day because you have the IQ. And I think that was a motivator that I was like, okay, afterwards, I'm getting right into it. Afterwards, what it meant playing overseas, I had high expectations of myself playing in the WNBA. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. I still play overseas. And when I was done, I got right into training. I was a personal trainer for about 10 years and stuck around that and stayed in basketball. I got into coaching.
You've accomplished so much just over your whole career, right? You've recently just been inducted into the Conference USA Hall of Fame.
Right.
Yes. You're about to get your jersey retired on Friday, February 8th.
Yeah.
What does those two accolades mean to you?
Oh, man. I think, first, let me say this. I played this sport for one reason and one reason only, for myself, because I had this passion. Everything else that has come with it along the way, since middle school, high school, accolades, trophies, awards, it was really for me to show my family, my niece and nephews, that literally whatever you want to do, put one foot in front of the other, take one day at a time, you can achieve those goals. But I would have to say for this one, being inducted 2014 Centennial Team, being inducted to UTEP's Hall of Fame 2018, those are such an honor. But this one takes the cake because tell me if I'm wrong, but I'm the first.
Mm-hmm.
First.
You're the only UTEP basketball player.
Yes.
Inducted.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know how I'm going to feel tomorrow, but I just feel that I'm so blessed and so honored to be in this position. And I wouldn't have been able to get here without my coaches, my teammates over the years, my friends. I have my best friends here with me, my fiance, and honestly, myself. I've always been critical on myself, and I don't give myself a lot of just do. And this one, I have to for myself. So this one for sure takes the cake.
I love that. No, you need to give yourself some praise. You should be proud of yourself.
I accomplished so much. I know I am, but my mind works like, what's next? So, but I got to relish in this moment. And I most definitely will, because I have family who are taking time out their days and their work schedules to come down here, and friends to spend this moment with me.
As they should. No, I love that. Just want to transition to coaching and how you started and how's that been for you. What was the biggest adjustment from going from player to coach?
Not being able to just do it.
Get on the court, do it for them.
Yeah. Because, you know, I don't know. It's the thing about this generation of, you could tell them. And then sometimes it's like, you just got to get out there and do it. And you can't do it for them all the time. So I think that was my biggest adjustment, because if I could, I would explain myself. I coach like I played, right, passionately. And it's a lot of teaching as a coach, and it's a lot of patience with this generation that you have to have. So I think that's for me.
So you played underneath head coach Keitha Adams. You're coaching alongside her now. How has she been an influence to your adjustment from player to coach?
Oh, man, she's been a huge influence. She's been a mentor, a motivator. Speaking about coaching, I went back home 2015, 2016 to coach. And I went back to my community in Southfield. My high school, Southfield Lathrop, was closed down in 2015, 2016. And there's two schools in Southfield, Southfield Lathrop, Southfield High. And they pretty much combined them and put it to Southfield A&T. So I went back home and I coached with my godmother, who was the head coach, Michelle Marshall, for about 5 years. And within that time, we were able to do some great things, win a lot of ball games, went to state championship. And all along the way with me coaching high school, I coached AAU for the Michigan Storm. When I'll go to different events across the country, Coach Adams is right there. She'll be watching my game. She'll come to me, talk to me before a game or after the game. When I got hired on at Colby Community College in Kansas,
she called me and we had a great conversation. She just gave me the confidence I knew that I had, but she helped me get over that hump from being an assistant coach to being in a position to be a head coach at a junior college. So she has been very pivotal to me in my life, not just on the basketball front. I've learned so much from her because she's a teacher, not just basketball. She's a teacher. She's a teacher of life. And she has helped me in so many forefronts in my personal life and clearly with the trophies and the rings you see as a player.
So you own the school record for assists, steals, minutes. You rank second in scoring, right? So how have your experience of being a former athlete helped you, you know, just help these student athletes and mentor your, you know, teammates? Well, not teammates, your players now.
Oh, good. Great. Great question. I think, you know, some of my girls will, some of them will look up the stats. Some will just, if you've been to the gym, see that when you walk into our gym, they see me there. And I think, with that kind of like a segue for them to start being more vocal and asking questions so I can be a coach and give them the answers and drop what I like to call drop jewels on the next generation. Because one, honestly, I have no kids, so I want to be able to put everything that I have into the next generation of young ladies, not just basketball, but life in general.
So I know you said sometimes, you know, when you're coaching, you want to step out on court and do it for them. But how is your coaching style and your philosophy and how has that translated from just your former playing days?
I would definitely have to say, you know, experience. The best way to figure things out is experience. So as much as I do like to get out there and I really want to do it, I have to allow them to be themselves, be free and make their own mistakes. And with those mistakes, that's where I start to come in and help them what it is that we're working on that we need to do. So I think that my coaching philosophy is like I'm always going to be kind of rah-rah because I'm passionate, but I understand with this generation that you're going to have to be able to make your own mistakes. You got to go through it yourself and then see what it is, your outcomes. And then if it's a great outcome, it's a bad outcome, whatever it is, you get to learn about yourself and be able to be a better woman the next day. Try to be a better you each day.
To you, what's the most rewarding part about coaching?
The kids, the young ladies, the next generation. I never did anything. I never did anything for myself. It's always about the next generation giving back whatever it is that I can. If it's advice, if it's physically being in the gym with them. If it's academics, I love government. So government, they need a little help with that. Like anything that I can do in my my power and my possession to help the next generation of young ladies, even if it's mental health. That's something that we all go through that is very, very huge. I've even had my struggles with mental health when I transitioned from not being a player overseas to changing into a coach. And I know what that feels like as an athlete to essentially all your life, you think in your mind you're going to play forever. And then when that day comes and it happens, it's not the one of the greatest feelings and it's tough to get through. So I had that experience of, you know, got to have that, see the light at the end of the tunnel and be focused and be able to figure it out and understand that you still got to show up in life.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it comes down to. You might be clouds. You might not be able to see the next day, the next week. But at the end of the day, you got to be able to show up in life.
I love that. People, you know, speak to experience, especially, you know, you see what not to do and what to do.
Right.
Somebody. And, you know, you could be a role model to somebody. I'm pretty sure you're a role model to a bunch of your players already. And I'm glad you mentioned the future generation. But how does it feel to be a role model to the future generation?
I would say it's not anything that I particularly just strive for. I just work to try to be a better Jerrica every day. And if I can affect one young lady positive in a day or week or month, that makes me feel good about myself. So I try to work on myself and be a better Jerrica every day.
You talked a little bit about being from Detroit. That's an inner city, right?
Yeah.
So what advice do you give to young girls that are trying to pursue a career in college basketball?
I would definitely say college basketball, just in general, got to be a student of the game. You have to be a student of the game, learning the whys, the ins and outs of it, watching your film on yourself, watching film on your opponents. One of the main things is tendencies. When you start learning tendencies of a team and other players, that's going to help you out. But more importantly, I would say just be confident, have faith in yourself. you got to have a work ethic, not just in basketball and life. You got to have a work ethic. You have to show up and give the best that you can each night and each day that you get out there on the floor. I would have to say that.
Great advice, for sure. Women's basketball has evolved just so much over these past few years in viewership and support and engagement. How has it evolved now since you've been, well, since you were a former player?
I would definitely have to say I'm a little biased when it comes to this. I know that it's big now, but you had players like Simone Augustus, you know, Tina Thompson, and I mean, Dawn Staley, that was very skilled, you know, very skilled, high IQ, playing the highest level of basketball. They were the starters to put us on the map, right? And it is involved in something that women deserve to be shown. Women deserve to show that we can be inspirational and we can do these things as well. And I think it evolved into something very, very beautiful that a lot of women have paved the way for it to get here. And I think we have women who are playing the game and playing the sport the right way who are doing a great job. So I love the way how it evolved and where we are now. I can only imagine where women's basketball would be in 5 to 10 years.
For sure. But what do you think still needs to be done to elevate just women's sports in general, not just women's basketball?
I think we need more teams. I think we need more teams, but with more teams come more viewership. I think we need more people to come out and sponsor these teams so more people will come and sit and watch amazing basketball. So I think I'll probably, if I can think it right now, that'd probably be the best thing. Or I can think it right now.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. And just to talk a little bit more about your legacy and your future goals, right? Like, just looking back, what's one lesson from your playing career that you still carry with you today?
I would have to say my work ethic. I think without having that work ethic and coming in and showing up every day, I probably wouldn't be the hardworking woman that I am today. So I think that would be probably my best answer.
No, I love that. What impact do you hope to leave, you know, once you're done as a coach?
I think the impact that I want to leave as a coach from being a player, these are things that were instilled to me at a young age, which is hard work, dedication, a coach that is passionate, a coach that wants to not only win games the right way, but more importantly, outside of basketball. Something that with Coach Adams, particularly, that I love about her, every program that she has been at the head of, each one of her students graduate. So having 100% graduation rate means that you're making sure that your players are getting the job done off the court and being able to move on to the next journey or chapter, if you will, of their lives. And I think that that's another important fact that I want to be left in my legacy as a coach, that not only that she knows the game and she can win games and speaking hypothetical, right? Mm-hmm. Win championships, that she also makes sure that her students are student athletes and they are able to go on to the next chapter of their lives with a degree in the field that they want.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, athletes are always students first. And not everybody will have a playing career, you know, post-college, which is fine.
Yes.
But they also need an idea of
what
do they want to pursue outside of athletics.
Absolutely. You know, some of them think that they're athletic students. Right. So we have to get that back in reverse and make sure they just understand that academics before basketball, A before B.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. What's next for you in your coaching career and just personal journey?
I would have to say just continuing to be a student of the game. Just as I say it for players, as a coach, I'm always studying. I get to learn in real time each game, each practice with Coach Adams. I think she's a phenomenal person and she has a genius basketball mind. And as well as Dawn Staley, that's one of my goats. So I'm always watching Dawn Staley and trying to learn why she calls a timeout at this moment, why she calls this player, just the whys of what it is that she do, that she does, as well as watching their interviews there, as in Coach Adams and Dawn Staley, and just learning to be a better coach. every day. And that comes with me being a student of the game still and learning on that aspect outside of X's and O's.
My last question for you is just, when you're in Don Haskins Center and you're back in the thick of it, right, do you ever just take a moment to just take it all in, especially with the banners up at top, with your NCAA tournament appearance, with your conference, USA championship, you know, banner? Just, do you take a moment?
I honestly have moments like during practices. Mm-hmm. I have flashbacks of whatever it is that we're doing. I have some type of flashback, but I don't think I had that particular moment that you're speaking of. I think that might happen tomorrow.
Yes, it needs to happen. I think once everybody's gone, you just need to take a moment.
Yes.
Just, you know, look around and be like, I've accomplished so much in this four walls. It's actually kind of crazy.
Yes. And I'm going to do that and topple it. What I love is the fact that my school, this city has rich history. And I think that moment is just going to be an amazing one because I'm surrounded. We look at those banners, the 66, and not even just the 66, all the other ones Don Haskins and his groups have done over the years. And then I look at the 08 and 2012 that Coach Adams has put up there. And I'm just blessed and honored, again, to be in this position. And I know it comes from all the hard work that I put into it, but I was a kid that it took a village. I did not do this alone, and I won't be able to continue in the future doing it alone. So it's going to be an amazing day tomorrow.
Oh, I can only imagine. But thank you so much for joining us. We at Conference USA just want to say congratulations for everything that you have accomplished up until this moment. We know you have a bright future ahead. We'll definitely be watching out for you. And thank you again for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Jessica. And I appreciate this honor from Conference USA. Out of all the teams and out of all the players that you all could have chose, y'all chose me, and that means the world to me. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Jerrica Hughes, for sitting down with me for that interview. We have some highlights of softball. We have some Power 4 wins, some big wins for our softball league. La Tech, they got a 6-1 win over Oklahoma State. FIU beat Iowa State at home, so that was very, very huge for them. That was a 7-6 walk-off win for FIU at home. Insane get for the Panthers. Middle Tennessee, they beat Rutgers 8-1. And then Liberty, they beat Louisville 9-4. So that was a very, very good game for Liberty. Right now, D1 Softball has them ranked at number 24. Softball America has them ranked 20. So Liberty is definitely a team-to-team to watch this year for softball. Just huge, huge wins. A huge weekend for Conference USA softball in general, and it's definitely a league to watch. But baseball starts. So we might be, softball and baseball might be a league to watch at this point.
Yeah, tomorrow afternoon, we got 2025 baseball season starting. Super excited to see this. And, you know, majority of our games will be on ESPN+ this weekend. So be on the lookout. We have a number 20 DBU, according to D1 baseball rankings. So definitely excited to see some of these new look teams. Kennesaw State joining the league, see how they'll transition. I don't think they'll have too much of a tough time the way they are year in and year out, but super excited to see where this league goes this year. We got great non-conference series all here at the beginning of the season, and we'll get to conference season before we know in March. So
time flies.
It does. It sure does.
Yes, March will be here. May will be here for conference. For baseball, softball, you know, March.
Before we know it.
We'll be in Alabama in 4 weeks or five. I think that's insane. We're already talking about our conference championship travel and what we're going to do every day.
Yes. Gotta love crossover.
Gotta love crossover season. It can get intense and it can get insane. But Conference USA has been doing so, so well amongst all of our sports right now. So just a huge shout out to our teams and what they've been doing. But thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much, Eric, for joining us today. Like, comment, and subscribe on YouTube if you're watching us in person. If you're watching us audio, Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to follow us on socials. I never say this anytime I host. I'm mad at myself that I never mentioned this. But follow us on socials at USA Insider Pod on X and Instagram. And until next time, guys.